We're holding on Sadiq Zayn Ahmed Bey's the last few words. We learned in the Mishnah several cases where the Shoyol and Mashil, or Socher and Ma, or where the Mashil and Shoyol, or the Master and Socher, the owner of the animal and the one who borrowed or rented it, have various claims and counterclaims one against the other. We had a case where he borrowed it for half a day and rented it for the other half, for example. Or today and tomorrow, or there was different cows involved. In all those cases, we said that there can be an argument. For example, the Mashal claims that the cow that died, or during the or the time when it or the cow that died was the one that I lent you, or the or the or it was during the time that I lent it to you, etc. And therefore, you chayev. Now we had several possibilities in the Mishnah. We said that the you can have where the shoyol or the socher says, "I don't know. I don't actually know." Which one it was or what time it was. So then we said chayev. Then we said that he's chayev to pay, or maybe at least based on the Gemara over here, maybe not necessarily chayev to pay, but at least that there's going to be a shavua. And if he can't swear, then he's going to have to pay. Then we had the other way around, where the socher makes the body claim, where the socher makes the body claim, and the masker makes the shema claim. You're saying that it happened when when you had rented the animal, or with the animal that you had rented, but maybe not necessarily. It may have been during the time you borrowed it, or with the animal that you borrowed. Then we say the other way around, bodi b'shema, bodi adif, and therefore he's potter, and therefore he's potter. Then we have the third case in the Mishnah where both of them are saying a bodi claim. So then we said so that so 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 then we said he has to swear. Then we said the socher has to swear, and the fourth case was neither one knew. And then we said yachloiku, they divided because mamon amutal b'safek. So we started the Gemara yesterday asking that according to Rab Nachman and Rab Yochanan also, who hold that when one person claims that you owe me money, and the other one says any idea, I don't know if I owe you that money, he's potter because he's potter because I'm motzi mechaver l'varaya. You want to say that I owe you money, you have to prove it. Just your say so is not enough, and the fact that I can't swear to the contrary doesn't matter. So according to Rav Nachman, how is our Mishnah going to work? So the last thing we said was Rav Nachman had said that just like Rav Nachman says elsewhere, that we're talking about where anyway, there's a shavua between them on something else, namely that there's already part of the taina for which he owes him a shavua, and now therefore there's going to be another shavua as well, and now there's going to be another shavua as well because of Gilgul shavua, and now he's saying I don't know, and therefore we can talk about our mission. So this is where we're up to. So the Gemara asks, Hechi dami esek shavua? What exactly is the scenario of esek shavua where we're saying then in our Mishnah that because that because therefore it's mechuyev shvur that he needs to swear and yet he's not able to because he doesn't know, then therefore we're saying that he's chayev. What exactly would be the scenario where we have an esek shvur? So the answer is kidderav. Like we find what Rava says, the Amar Rava monali biyadcha. For example, Rava says in a different context, if Reuven says you owe me a money, v'halo in l'chabiyadi el chamishim, Shimon says no, I only owe you 50, v'ashar eni yedeya, and I don't know about and I don't know about the rest of it. So then mitorche. So then that then we have the rule that because he's not able to swear, because he can't very well swear on something that he doesn't know, then therefore mishalem. In other words, if it had been that he denied the whole thing, then we would say kofar hakol midaraisa, he's not chayav a shvur midrabanan, you would have a shvur hesus that he would have to swear. If he had admitted that he owes, if he admitted that he owes 50 and says I definitely don't owe you the other 50, classic moedu mitzvahs, and then he'd swear daraisa. Here he's saying that I owe you 50 and I don't know about the other 50. So therefore, so 50 is going to be obligated to pay regardless. The other 50 is the other 50 he should have to swear on because Moedim Mixas, but he can't because he says any idea. So based on that, then even according to Rav Nachman, we can make our Mishnah work, provided that we have multiple cows involved. Now, to be sure, the Mishnah only said Parah, but we can understand that the Mishnah is really talking about that to begin with, there were a number of paras given over as the she'eler and slash skiros, and then we can talk about what happened to each one of them. Now, the exact scenario that the Gemara is going to bring over here involving the multiple cows, there are the Ritva and some other Rishonim say that these next few lines of the Gemara are not originally from the Gemara, but rather they were added by Talmidim of Rabbi Yehudoi Goin. We've talked about there's several times in this Masechta where they say such things. We've talked about before how such a thing could come about. Rabbi Yehudoi lives long after the end of the Gemara, long after even the Rabban and Severoi, who were able to make editorial additions to the Gemara. But what it is Rabbi Yehudoi Goin taught his Talmidim, and they would write notes in the margin of what he taught them, and sometimes those notes mistakenly migrated into the Gemara because later copyists saw them and thought that they were part of the Gemara that had mistakenly been left out. So according to them, this next piece may not be from the original Gemara. And in fact, they point out there are other ways, even without having extra cows, there are ways where you could make this work. But nevertheless, you know, we have this in the Gemara, and Rashi and Tosfos and all the Rishonim analyze it and discuss it. So of course, we're going to learn it as well. Anyway, so Mashkachas law. So in that case, then, so given Rava's point of Mitoch She'ni Yochel L'Shava Meshalem, then you can have as follows: what's the scenario of we said Kegun Sheyesh Esek Shvur Beinehem, that there's some kind of condition where there's some kind of situation where anyway needs to be a shvur between them, and now in addition we have where he's not able to where he's not able to swear, and therefore we're going to make him pay. So like this, Mashkachas la Reisha B'Shtayim V'Seifa B'Shalosh. So the first case of our Mishnah, and by that we mean the first and second cases, the ones where the owner of the animal. So the first case, which is where the owner of the animal claims bori that you owe me because it was the one that you borrowed that died, and the shoyel says shema, I don't know whether it was that one or the one that I rented. And the second case of the Mishnah, where it was the other way around, both of those, we can understand that we're talking about there were actually two cows involved. And when it comes to the seifa, meaning to say the third case of the Mishnah, where both of them are making a claim of bori, and we're saying that therefore he's chayev, would be talking about b'sholosh. We're talking about where there are three cows involved. So let's teach it out. Reisha b'shtayim, the first case of the Mishnah, meaning the first two cases, that is to say, the case where one is claiming bori and the other is claiming shema. The case would be de'omalei. It starts out the owner of the animals, plural rather, because we're talking about more than one of them, says, Shtei paras masauti loch, I gave you two cows, palga de yoima b'sheila, or palga de yoima b'schiros. For the deal was that you were going to borrow them for half a day, and then you were going to rent them for the other half of the day, or chad yoima b'sheila, chad yoima b'schiros, or it was going to be that Wednesday you're going to borrow them and Thursday you're going to rent them or whatever. So now both of them died during the time of Sheela. Both of them died during the first half of the day or on Wednesday, and which is the first day, this day of Sheela, and therefore you're chayev for them because as a shoyel, you're chayev for the death of the animal, even though it's an oinas, as we know. But omale shoyel, so now the shoyel says, yes, it is true. One of them died when one of the animals died during the time of She'ela. The idoch, but as far as the other one, lo yadina, ibeidan She'ela mesa, ibeidan schirus mesa. The other one, I don't know whether it died during the time of She'ela or during the time of schirus. So now, the mitoch she'ni yochel yishava. So now, because he's not able to swear, Mishalem, then therefore that would be what the Mishnah is saying, that he has to pay. So that would explain the first case of the Mishnah, and implicitly also the second case, that why is it that him claiming Shema is enough to make him chayev, is because Mitoch She'ni Yochel Yishava Mishalem. So Rashi now points out like this: why indeed do we need another animal over here? Why can't we have, or we need two animals, why do we have to have that both of them died? Why can't we say that one of them is still alive? So Rashi explains like this: because if one of them was still alive, then he would be saying, go ahead and take it, then that would be Halach. Now, we learned all the way at the beginning of the Masechta that in a case of Halach, we had a machlokas, what the din is. We said Modib Miktas is where, again, Reuven says, you owe me 100, and Shimon says, no, I only owe you 50. Now, we talked about a case where he said, not only I owe you 50, but halach, here, the money is available. Does that make them a moed mitzvah or not? So we said there that the Gemara had brought there a statement that would be considered moed mitzvah. But then Rav Sheshet said disagreed with that. We said based on a braisa of Rav Chiya that Rav Chiya had said in that case halach is chayev, and Rav Sheshet had disagreed and said that halach is potter, because once he says halach, then it's considered as though the other guy already has them, and therefore there's no moida mitzas, because he's not being moida on part of the claim and denying part of it. Part of it, we say, in effect, there's no claim at all, because it's already considered back in the hands of the malva. Well, similarly over here, then Rashi points out, because on the ground, according to Rav Sheshet, that says that by halach, you don't consider it moed mitzvah. And in fact, the halacha is indeed like Rav Sheshet in that. So you can't say that either cow is still alive. Otherwise you have halach over here. Now there is some interesting discussion about that among Rishonim on the question, Bechlal, if we have over here, the question that we'll discuss is going to be on the sefer. So we'll get to that in a minute. Tosfos does point out actually that really there are other cases we don't need davka mitoch sheni yochel shavim b'shalim, where we've got multiple cows and one of them he says I agree with you what happened to it and the other one I don't know. Really, Tosfos points out you could also have a case where he's choshud al shvur. On the face of it, you could have a case where Reuven is saying to Shimon, Reuven, the owner of the cows, is saying that they died during the time of Sheila, and Shimon is not claiming only part of it, but he's saying that one of them yes and one of them no, but he's choshud al shvur. The difference is, though, Tosfos says that in that case. In that case, then we would say the other way around. We would say when choshed al shvur. We're going to learn about this in Masechta Shavuos in detail next year, Be'ez Hashem. That in that case, in certain cases of choshed al shvur, we flip around the shvur and we make the other one swear. So in our scenario, if Reuven says to Shimon, "You owe me for two cows," and Shimon says, "I only owe you for one, and the other one I do not owe you for," and Shimon is choshed al shvur, then Tosfos says that would be one of those cases where, based on what Tosfos would tell Reuven, look, normally Shimon should swear, but he's choshed al shvur and he can't. Therefore, instead, you swear that it's as you say, and therefore you can collect. So that's why the Gemara is not using that as a possibility. So Tosfos points out also over here, the point is not he's choshed al shvur. It's not that he can't swear because he's choshed al shvur. It's because he actually doesn't know. So we're not going to say that we're going to flip around the shvur in a case like that. Only way he's actually choshed. So far we've said where there are two cows involved over here. So now again, the owner of the cows is saying you're chayev to me for both of them, and the other one, the shoyel slash socher, is saying I owe you definitely for one. I agree, one of them was during the time of Sheila, but the other one I'm not sure if it was the time of Sheila or the one that was Sheila or whatever. So then we'd be saying that he's mechuyev shvua, he's chayev shvua on the grounds of the first claim. But he's not able to swear because he doesn't know, and therefore Mishal. Next, continues the Gemara, Sefer, the Sefer, as far as the Sefer of the Mishnah, which was the case where both of them are claiming Bori, and we also said that in that case, because they're both claiming Bori, we also said Chayev. So the case in the Sefer would be, but Gimel would be where there are three cows involved. The Omerle, so it starts out, the owner of the cows says, "Sholish paris nasati lacha. I gave you three cows I gave you three cows to work with. Shtayim b'she'elav achas b'schiros. Two of them I lent you, and one of them I rented to you. Umesu hani tauti d'she'elah. The two that I lent you have died. The Omerle shoyel ein, and the shoyel says, yes. I agree that one of them died while it was in my possession, and therefore I'm chayev for that one as a shoyel. Idoch, as far as the second one, lo yadayna ida she'ela mesa, and the second one, I don't know whether it was the one of she'ela or dekaima, and then the cow that's still alive, the schirosi, is the one that I rented from you. And in that case, then yes, I would be chayev to pay you for two cows as a shoyel. Or the other way around, the Shoyal is saying that the second one that died may be the one of Schirus, and I'm potter for that as a Socher, because a Socher, after all, is like a Shoma Socher, and is potter for Einsin, and therefore, and the one that's still alive is the one of the Sheila, and therefore, so that would be a case of Mitoch Sheni Yochel Lishav Meshavim. So that would work out. Now you have a discussion of Rishonim on the point. Why do we need to have three cows over here? Even if he just says, I gave you two cows, one She'ela, one Schirus, and the other one says, listen, the one of She'ela is the one that died, and the other one says that one of them died. The other one, we say is not going to be Halach, because. So we can have a scenario where he says something like this. The one that died, I don't know if it was She'ela or Schirus. As far as the other one, it is still alive, and I can return it to you. I can't right now because it's out in the meadow grazing. Halach would be only when he's saying, I have the money or the animal or whatever it is available right now. So why can't we say that? Why do we need a zet sign that we're talking about three? So now you have like this. The Raivad points out, as we go through the sugya from this and from other details later on in the sugya, the Raivad points out that the claim of She'ela and the claim of Schirus would be considered two different things. So in other words, the Raivad learns like this: in the first case, in the Reisha, he's saying that both of them I lent to you, in the first case, the Shoyal is saying, I lent both of them to you, and I'm claiming that both of them died during the time of She'ela, and the other one saying, yes, one was doing She'ela, the other one, I don't know. But in the Sefer over here, where to begin with, he's saying, of the ones that I gave you, some of them were She'ela and some of them were Schirus, and now I'm claiming that the ones that were She'ela died and the one that's Schirus not. And the other one is saying the other way around, Schirus yes, She'ela no. In that case, the Raivad learns that that's not considered Moedu Amitzas. And therefore the result would be, so then we wouldn't have Chayev. So in order to make it Chayev, the only way would be, that's why the Gemara has to have three animals over here. And now he's saying, as far as one of them, so you're saying that I owe you for two animals because I borrowed both of them. No, one of them I owe you, the other one I'm not sure. And you need it to work it that way. In fact, the Raivad himself, the Raivad is discussing something based on the Baal Amor. First of all, the Raivad's position is based on the idea that if the animal is not available right now, then it's not considered halach. The Baal Amor and other Rishonim disagree with that premise in the first place. Just because it's located right now in the meadow, it is in fact considered Halach, and Rashi himself, when we talk about Halach at the beginning of the Masechta, said as much. So according to the Baal Amor, the answer would be that still, if he were to say it's only two animals and one of them is not available right now because it's in the meadow and the other one died, we would in fact consider that halach. And like Rashi said before, according to Rav Sheshes, and that's the halacha, in the case of halach, we would say it's not considered moedu b'mitzas, and that's that. The Raivad disagrees with that premise and says, as we just said, it's not considered halach if the thing is not available right now. So the Raivad explains that the two claims, She'ela and Schirus, are actually considered two separate claims, and therefore that wouldn't be moedu b'mitzas. So that's why the Gemara has to find a way that he's admitting part of one claim and denying part of that very same claim. He's claiming She'ela on both of them, and then saying the two that of She'ela died, and the other one is saying that one of the ones of She'ela died, and the other one I'm not sure. The Ramban and other Rishonim disagree in turn with the Raivad on that, and say that it is considered one big claim. So again, according to them, you would have the reason would be based on what the Baal Amor says about that we have to find a case which is not halach over here, and just saying that the animal is not available is not considered halach. Maharsha actually points out you could also say with two cows and say that one of them was Pshia. But it's not normal. First of all, we didn't say anything about Pshia over here, and there's a Gemara in Shavuos that also bears on this, from which also it implies that we're not talking about a case of Pshia over here. So that's what we're saying then, therefore. So we're not talking about, so again, in order to infer that our Mishnah should not contradict Reb Nachman, where Reb Nachman had said that if Reuven says, you owe me a mana, and Shimon says, I don't know, then he's chayev. But even Reb Nachman agrees that if he says, even Reb Nachman and Ravo spelled it out, said, will agree that if he says on part of the claim itself, yes to part of it, I don't know to part of it, that would be Mechuyev Shvuah. And Yochel Deshalem, very well then, our Mishnah is talking about that. And in order to make that work, we need in the Reisha a minimum of two cows. And in the Sefer, where both of them are making a tainus body, we require a minimum of three cows. Well, now the Gemara continues. Ulu Romi Bachoma. Now we have to revisit this according to Romi Bachoma. Namely, we learned back in Bava Kamma that, like this, when we say that a Asher Mechinam has to swear on pretty much anything that happens with the animal, because he's the only way he's chayev is Pshio Shlichos Yad, and a Asher Mesachar has to swear if there was an Oynas, and so forth. When does all that happen? Now, in Bava Kamma, we learned like this. We had an opinion of Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, who said that when do we say that you need a modem mitzvah to swear and koifer hakol doesn't swear? Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef had held in the Gemara over there that that's only by a milva, only by a loan, and gave the reason over there ain't on a meiz ponov, and therefore he's not really denying the whole thing. He's just trying to stall for time. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef had explained there that with the pasuk from which we learn the concept of modem mitzvah, even though it says it in the context of the shomrim, it's really referring to a malva and loiva. So according to him, therefore, a shomer would swear even if he's denying the whole claim, as we just had in our Gemara over here. So we're here, he's admitting part of it and saying the rest of it, I don't know. Meanwhile, so according to him, then the scenarios that we just brought up will work. Now, Rami Bachoma in that Gemara over there disagrees with that and says that no, even by a pikadin, even by a shomer, in order for him to be chayav a shvur, you need kfirah b'miktzas v'hoidah b'miktzas. You need him to be admitting part of the claim and denying part of it. He needs to be a mode of miktzas, in short, by a pikadin as well. We had a very, very long Tosfos over there in Bava Kamma that discussed this and pointed out there are clear Mishnayos that say that. So how could Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef say differently? And Tosfos discussed over there that maybe Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef means that you need this also by a milva and not only by a pikadin. And then there was a whole long arichos in Tosfos about that. In any case, the point is, according to Rami Bar Chama, he says, well, the Rami Bachama, the Omer, our Bosh Shomen, Sukhin Kfirah B'Mikzas, Vahidah B'Mikzas, according to him, in order for the Shomenim also to have to swear, you would have to have that he's denying part of the claim and admitting part of the claim. You would have to have Moedim Mikzas, just like any other case of, Toyin Vinita. So therefore, so according to Rami Bachama, the scenario that we had over here with two cows versus three is still not going to work, because you have, not only does he need to have, you need to have one that he's going to be swearing, that he would have had to be swearing on, plus you have to have ones where he's going to admit and deny on them respectively. Now Rashi points out, because Rami Bachama uses the expression Tzrichin Kfirah B'Miktas V'Hoidah B'Miktas, he doesn't just say Tzrichin Hoidah B'Miktas. That implies, in other words, that even when you have that even when Shvuos HaShomrim should apply and there's no Kfirah, no, you have to have Kfirah. You have to have something that he's denying. For example, you never lent it to me. Or for example, I returned it to you already and appointed Rami Bachama. Only then would the Shomer be Chayav Shvuah. Now, when he says any idea, that's not considered a kfira. When he says, I don't know which one it was that died, or I don't know whether you lent it to me or whatever, that would be considered kfira. And in fact, Rashi goes on to say that as far as Rava's din at the top of the Amud, when he says monali biyodcha, and the other one says, no, I only owe you 50, and the rest I don't know, Rashi says that Rami Bachama would disagree with that point. Rami Bachama would say for him to be chayav shvur, it would have to be that he's saying 50 of them, loy hayu dvarim ba'olam, I only borrowed 50 from you in the first place. As far as the other 50, part of it, I, part of it, I, uh, part of it, uh, part of so he'd say part of it not, and part of it I don't know. Rather he'd say 50, yes, I owe you. As far as the other 50, some of it like how you drawn my olam, and some of it I already returned to you. According to Rami Bachama, that would have to be the case where he's chayel. So now applying that to our Gemara over here, the Gemara says, well, Rami Bachama, the Amma Abbas Shomin, Sichin Kfira Bemitzas, Vahidab Mitzas, according to Rami Bachama, a Shomer, any of the four Shomim, can be chayev a Shvuah only when within the claim against them there is some Kfira and some Hoidah. So then, according to that, mashkachas la reisha b'sholosh v'seifa ba'arba. We can still make it work with multiple animals, but now we're going to need three animals in the reisha and four in the seifa, because each time we have to add an extra animal for him to be koifer b'miktas v'hoidar b'miktas. Namely, reisha b'sholosh. So the reisha, which is where the owner of the animal says a tainas bari, and the other one claims back shema. What we're talking about is the omale. So the owner of the animal says sholosh paras nasati lafa. I gave you three cows. Palga diyom of she'elo, palga diyom of eschiros. Half the day they were to be borrowed, and the other half of the day you were going to be renting. Or inami chad yom of she'elo, chad yom of eschiros. Or one day lending, and the next day and the next day renting. Or mesu sholosh kula be'idan she'ela. All three of them I'm claiming died during the time that you had borrowed them, on the day or during the day or the half a day or whatever that you had borrowed them. V'amalei shoyel. So now the shoyel replies back. One of them, you never actually, it was only two animals in the first place. There is your kfir b'miktas. He's denying part of the claim and saying, I never borrowed it in the first place. V'chada, ein, and one of them, yes, v'idan she'ela mesa, it died during the time of she'ela, and therefore that's the hodah b'miktas. V'idach, and the third one, lo yadayna, v'idan she'ela mesa, v'idan skiros mesa, the third one, I don't know whether it was the time of she'ela or skiros. So you have kfir b'miktas and hodah b'miktas, and you also have... Well,
that's different than moda b'miktas.
No, that's what we're talking about, moda b'miktas.
So hodah is moda.
Hodah is moda, yeah, okay. It's the same thing. But yeah, the point is, though, that we still have to have, remember, in our Mishnah, we still had that the owner of the animals is claiming bari in the first case of the Mishnah, and the shomer is claiming eni yedeya. So now, according to Rami Bachama, again, who says that for a shomer to swear, you need kfirah b'miktas v'hodah b'miktas. So you need what he says as far as the first two animals. Otherwise, you don't have. He's not kofer on something, and he's not moda on something. Once you have that, then the third one he's saying, v'idach lo yadayna, v'idin she'ela mesa, v'idin schiros mesa. The third one, I don't know whether it died during the time of she'ela or during the time of schiros, and the result is the mitok she'ni yochel ikshavim mashalim. So now, because he can't swear on that third one, therefore the result is he winds up paying. So Rashi explains, Rami Bachama again is saying that when the pasuk says ki hu zeh, and from that we learn the concept of the shvuah of the shomrim, from the words ki hu zeh, we learn the concept of modim mitzas, because we're saying, in other words, that Reuven is saying you owe me X amount, and Shimon is saying no, I only owe you less. So Asher Yoima, where Reuven is saying ki hu zeh, this is what you owe me, and Shimon is saying no, I don't owe you that, but rather less than that. So Rami Bachama holds, because that's in the context of the Shomrim, therefore it means it has to be that way as far as the Shomrim. And therefore, according to him, you only have a Shomer is only going to swear only when he makes such a claim. As opposed to, again, according to the Priya by Yosef, he said, Eid of Parshias, Kos of Khan, there's a mix-up of Parshias over here, and this Pasuk is actually referring to, to a malva and loiva, and again, Tosfos discusses in great length in Bava Kamma, and also over here, that even Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef doesn't mean it doesn't apply to Shomrim at all. It's clear there are certain cases where it applies to Shomrim, but rather he says in addition it applies to a malva as well. Anyway, so again, in the ratio of our Mishnah, then that's the point. Is we have a claim on three cows. He's koifer b'mitzas, he's moda b'mitzas, and the third one he says I don't know. Sefer, as far as the sefer of our Mishnah, namely the third case of our Mishnah, where each of them is making a bodhi claim, and we're also saying that chayev, we're also saying the shoyel is chayev to pay. That would be ba'arba. According to Rami Bachama, we have to understand that there are four animals involved over here. De'omale, it starts out, the mashal says, I gave you four cows I gave you four cows. Sholosh b'she'el of a chod of a schirus. Three of them I lent to you. One of them I rented to you. Umesu hanich pani. The three that I lent you have all died, and you're therefore chayav for all three of them as a shoyl. The shoyl answers back. And the shoyl answers back. One of them is not so because you never lent it. So there's your kfira. And one of them, yes, the sheila mesa. It's the one of sheila that died, and therefore there's your hoda. The idah, there's your modu mitzas. The idah, lo yadayna idis schirus meso de kaima de shela. As far as the third one, I don't know whether the one of schirus is the one that died and the one that's alive is the one of shela, in which case I'm potter on that third one, because the third one that died was actually schirus, and as a soicher, I'm potter for it dying because that's an onus. Id oid shela meso de kaima de schirus, or the other way around, as you were saying, that the one that died is the one of She'ela, and the one that's alive is the one of Schirus. So again, so we're talking about then there's Kfira, and there's Hodah, and there's Modu Mimitzas, and again, Mitochshen Yochli Shavu Mishalem, and again, because he can't swear, then therefore, because he can't swear on that one that he doesn't know about Mishalem, then he winds up paying. So that would be the third case of the Mishnah, where Ze'er Meshul of Ze'er Meshura were saying, in other words, so they are making body claims, but together with that body claim, there's also a Shema claim that one of them, I don't know whether it was the one of Schirus or the one of She'ela. Yeah, so the argument between them is which one was the one that was rented out in the first place and that died. So you have a body claim, but you also have a Shema claim over there, and therefore we talk Sheni Yochel Lichav Meshalem. So according to Rami Bachama, that's how we make the Mishnah work. Again, this is all needed, really. First of all, Rashi points out, by the way, all of this is, well, yeah. So, not Rashi. So, yeah, all of this is only needed according to Rav Nachman, according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda at the beginning of the Sugya, who said that Bechlau, when Reuven says, you owe me a mona, and Shimon says, I don't know, then Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say he's chayev to pay. So, according to them, you don't need all of this, all of these details over here. It's enough that Reuven is saying, I lent you a cow for half the day and rented to you for half a day, and I'm claiming it died during the time of Sheila, and the other one says, I don't know, according to them, that would be enough to make him pay, and you don't need this whole case of multiple cows of it. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Ze'o Mesh'ul of Ze'o Mesh'ura, we had the case in the third case of our Mishnah, where Reuven says it was the borrowed cow that died, and therefore Yechayev, the Ze'o Mesh'ura, and the other one says, the other one says schura, that there was definitely the one that I rented that died. So then we said shava seichor shschura mesa. So now the seichor has to swear that it's the one that was rented that died. That was the case we had. So I said it wrongly before, actually, when we were talking about the reisha and the sefer of the Mishnah. What we meant is the beginning, the first half of the Mishnah, where we said where the owner of the cow was making body claims, whether because chatzi yom or hayom and macher or shal achas or shal achas, all those cases, what we were dealing with now in this piece of Gemara over here about the Mechoy of Shavuot and Yochel Shava and all that. Now we're turning to the next part where each one says, where each one is making a tainus body. Reuven is saying, I lent you a cow, and Reuven is saying, I lent you a cow and rented you another one, and the one that I lent you was the one that died, and Shimon is saying that, no, it's definitely the one that I rented that died. So now we said, the Mishnah had said, Yishava Seicha Shaschura Mesa, the Seicha will have to swear, like any Shomer, that the one that was Schura died. So the question is, V'amai, why should he be Chayav Shavua? Masha Tane, Lo Hoda Lo, Masha Hoda Lo, Lo Tane. What he's claiming is not what the other guy is admitting, and vice versa. Meaning, in other words, that what's going on, Reuven is saying that you owe me for the one that was for the one that I lent to you. He's agreeing you don't owe me for the one that I rented to you. Meanwhile, the other one is saying, no, if anything, I only owe you for the one that I rented from you. But in fact, I'm potter from that because as a socher, I'm potter for that. And the other one, I'm not disagreeing that I have to return it to you. So where's the modem mitzvah? Now Rashi points out the whole previous sugya where we were talking about where according to Rami Bachama anyway, where there's kofer and moda, that was only needed according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Huna and according to Rav Yehuda, we said you don't need that. So then the question would be, according to them, that they would say that when you say any adeya, then you have to pay. But when you're not saying any adeya, when you're denying the claim, then you're potter. Most you're chayv shvors heses, but that's derabanan. That's something from after the time of the Mishnayos. So therefore, in the Mishnah, why are we saying that he has to swear? What is he swearing on? There's no modim amitzas. Now we talked about before that the Ravid understands that we're actually talking about two different claims over here. The Ravid understands that the claim of She'ela and the claim of Schirus are actually considered two different claims. So according to him, therefore, the wording of the Gemara works out very well. This is a classic case that the Gemara calls elsewhere, Tane Chitim Vahodoloi B'Sa'orim. That Reuven says, you owe me X amount of wheat. And Shimon says, no, I owe you X amount of barley. And those are two different claims. And therefore, it's not even a matter of motive mixtas. They're actually, it's considered an admission on a completely different claim. According to Rashi, it's not really so much that. And in fact, Agos HaGrah points out, according to Rashi, the second half of the Gemara's statement, the Mashahoda Loi Loi Tano, doesn't really belong in the Gemara. Because according to Rashi, the question really is, it's not that they're two different claims, it is all one claim, like the Ramban and other Rishonim say, but the question is that there's no Modu Mitzas. On the face of it, he's being Kofa Hakol. Because the Reuven is saying, you owe me for one that was Sha'ola, and the other one is saying, no, I don't, which is classic, Kofa Hakol. So according to Rashi, the question is that he's kofer hakol. According to the Ravid, the question is that there are two different claims, and he's admitting on one that he was not asked about. So the answer is Omar Ula Ayde Gyugul. So the answer is that Ula says we're talking about when we say he has to swear, we're talking about where there's Gyugul Shavua. Again, similar to what we said before, there is already another Shavua that he owes him anyway. So now once he's having him swear on one thing, then he can have him include other things in it as well. In this case, the fact that it was the one that was rented that died, namely to Omale Ishtabali Izu Mihas. So at least the word Izu, we have sometimes in the Gemara, Izu or Izi, a different Rishonim discussed, is it a word like you have sometimes in the Gemara, like in English, sometimes you have a filler word in a sentence like then or so or something like that. So Ishtabali Izu or Izi would mean so then swear to me. Izi, and so there's other explanations that Izi means my friend. So whatever the case, Ishtabali Izu Mihas to Kadauka Mesa. So then listen, you anyway have to swear that it died Kadauka rather than you were Peshea or anything like that. Umigud Mishtaba to Kadauka Mesa, once he's swearing on that it Mesa Kadauka, which as a socher, then he would be Potter, Mishtaba Nami to Schora Mesa, then together with that he's swearing that it was in fact the Schora and not like you were saying that it was the shame. So now Rashi explains this is not following Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama had said on Omar Aleph that you need by a shomer for him to swear, you need kfirah b'miktas by a dar b'miktas. If that were the case, then this wouldn't work over here because there's no kfirah b'miktas. He's not denying part of the claim. He's saying that I don't owe you anything because it was the one of Schirus that died. So this part of this what the Gemara is saying over here would not be according to Rami Bachama. Rather, it would be according to Rabbi Bar Yosef, who said that, as we said before, that the whole concept of modim mitzas does not apply to a shomer, or as Tosfos says in Baba Kama and over here, it maybe only applies to a shomer in some very limited cases, and therefore that's what we're saying over here. Just because he's saying that I don't owe you anything, that alone makes him chayav shvua. But if it weren't for the fact that it wouldn't be strong enough to trigger a shvur by itself, because again, either because like Rashi says it's kofer hakol, or because like the Ravid says, because it's two different claims, and he's answering a claim that wasn't made bichlal, so therefore we require that there is a claim that he's making him swear for, and then we include the shvur with it. We said in the Mishnah, the fourth case was Ze'im Eni Yadev Ze'im Achula. Reuven says that I don't know whether the one that I rented you or the guide or the one that I lent you or during the time that I lent versus rented or whatever. And the other one also says I don't know. So the Mishnah had said Yachloi. So they have to divide it. So each one, so in other words, the Shomer pays half. So Homani, the Gemara says, who is this like? Sumchus. This would be specifically according to Sumchus. The Amrits Momin on multiple Suffolk Choken. Sumchus holds when you have a Suffolk on money, then Choken, according to the Chachamim, we say Amotzi v'Chavel v'Raya, and according to them, there's nothing to talk about dividing it. He would be completely potter unless the other one can prove or at least make a tainas bori that in fact he's owed this money. So now most of the Rishonim learn that the halacha is not like sumchus. So in that case, then why do we have a stam mishnah like that? So there are in fact a couple of Rishonim who say that maybe indeed there are a couple of Rishonim who learn that maybe the halacha is indeed like sumchus. About Momin on multiple Suffolk Chok, and we'll talk about it more later on at Daf Kuf Bes Hashem when we deal more with this din of Momin on multiple Suffolk. Or we're going to have the classic case over there of Hamachlif Pora Bachamur. But anyway, if we say that Halacha is not like Sumchus at all, then the Ritva says because the Mishnah wanted to find, the Tana of the Mishnah wanted to find what would happen according to all four of them, different cases that would happen in each case. Chayev Potter, Chayev Shavua, or Choken, and the only way to make a distinction with that fourth one would be according to Sumchus. So therefore, according to that, the Tana doesn't mind giving us a Stam Mishnah according to an opinion that the Halacha is not like, because at least this way it gives us different possible scenarios to say for each different possible Piskei Dinim to say for each of the four cases. Okay. The Gemara says, Boy Rab Abba Bamemel. Now Rab Abba Bamemel asks the question. We've learned in the beginning of our parak about She'ela B'Bailim. So what would happen? Shaul of a Bailin, suppose that the Shomer borrowed the animal, but Bailin. So now again, the owner of the animal is at the same time or previously is already lent out or rent or hired out to him to work. The Sochra Shaloi Bailin, and then and then he rented it, not the Bailin. So Rashi explains before he returned it from the Sheila, then he rented it from him. Now, at the time of the rental, it wasn't Baal Avimai. Now, what happens is, if something happens to it, if it was Gnevu Aveda during the time of Schirus. So the question would be, Mia Minin Sheila Lachoda Kaima, with Schirus Lachoda Kaima, do we say the Sheila and the Schirus each stand alone, and therefore one has nothing to do with the other, and the fact that he started a new Schirus is, in other words, Rashi says he did do Mashicha on the animal to begin with, and that was Babylon. Now he hasn't done another Mashicha to start the Schirus. Nevertheless, we would say it's not necessary. At the time of Schirus, it was already in his Chotzer. He was already coining it for the Schirus with Kinyan Chotzer, and therefore it's considered a new Kinyan. And again, it's not Ba'ol of Imai, and therefore he'd be Chayev according to the usual rules of a Sefer. Or maybe we would say the Schirus is considered to be an extension of, is considered to be a part of the She'ela, Dormi Chayev, Gnevi Vaveda. Because after all, there's no new, when he transitions from She'ela to Schirus, there's no new Chiyuv being put on him. The same Chiyuvim of Gneva Vaveda that are going to apply to him as a Socher applied previously as a Shoyal as well. Therefore, you could argue that it's an extension of the previous one. And since the previous one was She'ela Babaylim, then therefore that would extend to this as well. So that's the question. In other words, would we say that there's a new thing over here because of the schirus? Tosfos points out now, if for example, if he had rented it bebailim and then he rented it again shaloi bebailim, then yes, definitely we would say it's an extension of the same thing. They're both schirus, and therefore we would say it's considered one long thing, even though he extended the rental. But here we're talking about where it's two different things: she'ela versus schirus. Okay, the Gemara continues. If you're going to say that, yes, the schirus is considered an extension of the she'ela, because after all, as a socher, he's not adding any new chiyuvim. Everything that he was chayev before as a shoyel, he's still chayev for as a socher. The difference is before, as a shoyel, he would have been chayev for onsin, and he was only potter from it because of all of him, right? And now as a socher, he's not. Well, then we can ask the other way around. So now the question would be, then what would happen? What would happen the other way around? If first he rented it, and then before he returned it, he borrowed it. So now the question would be, and again, the borrowing was shaloi b'baylim. So now we would say she'ela b'schirus vade l'shaitha. You for sure can't say that she'ela is included in schirus, because after all, she'ela has a new chiyuv of oinsin, which he didn't have as a socher. But so therefore we would say it's considered a new thing. And now when the she'ela had started, it's not b'baylim, and therefore you can be mechay. Therefore, there's no ba'ol of imay, and therefore he's chayev for anything that happens. Or maybe we should say kibin de she'ela b'miktas k'man de she'ela b'kolam. Maybe we can argue that at least some of the chiyuvim of she'ela still apply to him. Some of the chiyuvim of that are shayach to him now were shayach before as well. Namely, the same gneiv of aveda that he was chayev in as a socher, he's still chayev in as a shoyel. Now Rashi points out. So there's no question. Obviously, if there was oinsin over here, so the question. So as far as gneiv of aveda, Rashi says that no, there's no question that Rashi says that he would be the same way as he was potter from gneiv of aveda as a socher, because ba'ol of imay, yes, there's no question that carries over to the she'ela, because there's nothing new in that chiyuv that there isn't before. Then we would definitely, since we said on the first one, imtim tzalaymer, if you're going to say meshach she'ela, that one is included in the other, then you would definitely have to say over here, the gneiv of aveda, which were included as a socher, are still included as a shoyel, and he's definitely potter on those. The question rather would be, as far as onsin, can we say now, on the one hand, you would say, obviously, Oinsin is a new thing, which is chayev and as a shoyel, who's potter as a socher. Therefore, we would say the concept of ba'ol of imo doesn't apply, but maybe we would say that since part of his chiyuvim are carrying over, then maybe oinsin goes along with them as well. So that would be the second question. Continues the Gemara. Im tim tzaloyma loyam minin kivin de shaycha memiktas kaman de shaycha b'kola domi. If you're going to say that, that we don't say that because it's partially included, therefore it's completely included. So in other words, if we're going to say that just because before he was chayev in gneiv v'aveda and now also he's chayev in gneiv v'aveda, therefore the ba'ol of imah should carry over. If we're going to say that, no, because now we have a new thing. That comes into the picture, oinsin, which we didn't have before. So Rashi actually does not like that gusa. Rashi takes out these words im tim tzaloymar. The Gemara says im tim tzaloymar over here, but the gusa we have in front of us is im tim tzaloymar loyam kibin de shaycha mitzas kaman de shaycha b'kolodami. If we say that we don't say that, and we say that the she'ela is considered a new thing because it has extra chiyuvim that the schirus didn't have. Now Rashi brings that he had a girsa in front of him that said im tim tzaloymar kibin de shaycha. If you're going to say that it is included, because that it does carry over because it's included, Rashi says, I don't understand how you can have such a girsa. So Rashi says the girsa should be loyam minan. And in fact, as is often the case, the text of the manuscripts of Gemara after Rashi had said such things, and eventually when they were printed, follows that, and therefore that's the girsa we have in front of us. So we'll talk about soon what Tosfos says differently. Anyway. So according to Rashi, im tim tzaloymar loyam minan kibin de shaycha mitzas kaman de shaycha b'kol adami. If you're going to say on the second question that no, we don't say because it's partially included, therefore it's considered completely included. So in other words, we would say the she'ela is considered a whole new thing. And since there was no ba'ol of imay when he began the she'ela, then he would be chayev. Well, then we have to ask the question. Here's another possibility. What would happen if there were three parts? He borrowed it, Bebailim. So far, he's potter because Baal of him, right? Then he rented it, Shaloi Bebailim. And you're going to say, therefore, that the, and you're going to say, that at the and you and so now there's the schirus in between, and fine, we said the schirus is included in the she'ela because all of the things for which he's chayev as a soicher who is previously chayev for as a shoyel, but now because of a shala, now he borrowed it again, still shaloi b'bayim mahu. So now what would happen? Do we say that now the she'ela is reinstated, meaning in other words, and the original she'ela was Bebailim, and therefore now it's all a continuation, and therefore we're back to she'ela, and therefore he's potter for everything, even Barinsin. If sikol aschirus beni or beni, or maybe the schirus interrupted things in the middle, and therefore we would say this, and since we just said that she'ela is not included in schirus, because she'ela has a new chiyuv in it, which schirus did not, then maybe we would say that. He is in fact chayim. And then in a fourth case, what about sochra b'baylim mishal shalay b'baylim because of a sochra? What about the other way around? First he rented it b'baylim, then he borrowed it without b'baylim because of a sochra, and then he rented it again, still shalay b'baylim, and then there's gnei v'aveda mahu. Then what would be the din? So again, the question is, do we say the schiros returns to its place and therefore Baal of Imai kicks in again, just like it was originally? Or maybe the she'ela interrupts in between. And if we say the she'ela is not included in the schiros because it has extra chiyuvim that the schiros didn't have, then the result is that now the new schiros, he's not, that the new schiros also we don't apply Baal of Imai because the Baal of Imai that there was by the original schiros no longer applies. So that girsa and that explanation is all according to Rashi. Tosfos points out that if you're going to say like Rashi that we're asking on the third case where it's she'ela schiros she'ela, then what's the point of asking the fourth question, according to Rashi, who says that we're saying that if it's partially included, then it's not considered included, then how could we think in the fourth case that schirus should return? After all, as we made it clear, she'ela is not included in schirus, so there'd be no question that she'ela in between interrupts things. And then Tosfos discusses that a little bit, and so Tosfos actually brings back the girsa that Rashi rejected. So Tosfos says no. In the third part of the question, it is in fact that the Gemara was assuming what about the imkim tzalayim amrin and kivin de shaycha b'miktzas shaycha b'chol adami, that we would say that maybe that if you're going to say that once it's partially included, it's considered completely included, and the question then would be. And then the question would be, in other words, would we say once we get to the third part of the question, the question would be we would assume im tim tzalayma, if we're going to say that yes, schirus can also include she'ela, even though she'ela has a new chiyuv that schirus did not, namely onsin, but it's partially included because gneva aveda carries over. Then the Gemara is asking about what happens if you have. She'ela schirus she'ela or schirus she'ela schirus, and then it's valid to ask both of the then it's valid to ask both the third and the fourth questions. So the question would be, in other words, even if we say meshach shaycha, even if we say it is included because it's partially included, nevertheless, though, we're still saying that does the second she'ela join up with the first one, or does it join up with the schirus before it, and then the schirus before it was without bailim, and similarly in the fourth question. So according to Tosfos, then it would come out that the third, the imtim tzalayma introducing the third one is in fact that we're saying imtim tzalayma aminan, that if we do say that she'ela is included in schirus, but would that apply even where there's another she'ela afterwards, or vice versa, where there's a schirus and then a she'ela and then a schirus? That's the point of Tosfos. Now, we have a rule in halacha that says that whenever we have a rule that the Rishonim say, I forget, even the Gaonim say, that whenever the Gemara says imtim tzalayma, it means the halacha is like that possibility. So therefore, when we have the first question over here about do we say that schirus is included in she'ela, because again, all the chiyuvim of a soicher are included in those of a shoyel, So then, and then the Gemara said, "Im tim tzalayma," if you're going to say that, yes. So the answer would be that yes, we do consider. Therefore, so if he did she'elah b'baylim, and then before he returns it, does schiros without the baylim, we would say that it's an extension of it, and therefore ba'ol of imo still applies. So now when we come to the third one, then you have the difference of Gersois between Rashi and Tosfos. But on top of that, Hagoyis HaGro points out that the Rambam has yet another Gersa, which doesn't even have an Imtim Tzalayma before the third one. So therefore, in other words, it comes out that so the Gemara finishes off over here, Teku, that with these questions, we don't know the answer. So again, what do we do with the halacha? The first question has definitely been answered with an Imtim Tzalayma. Therefore, in the first question, where he did she'ela and then schiros, where without doing a new mashiach on it, there's no question that he is potter during that time for ba'al of imay, because there was ba'al of imay at the beginning of the she'ela. The second question, whether we say if he rented it first and later on borrowed it, do we say that it's included? That's going to depend on the gersois of Rashi and Tosfos versus the Rambam, whether we say there's an imtim tzalayma over there. And what the result of that imtim tzalayma is, if there's going to be one, is going to depend on Rashi versus Tosfos, whether we've definitely said that it's not included or whether we've definitely said it is. Then we come to the third and fourth ones, where there's no imtim tzalayma at the end of them at all, and therefore those are definitely besaf. And the result would be amotzi mechavel of araya as usual. So the result would be, again, that if he rented it, and then that if he borrowed it, and then rented it, and then borrowed it again, or the other way around, then we would say that because teku, so we can't make him pay, because we can't be certain whether it's still considered babaylam or not.
He's lucky for the teku.
So therefore, yeah, he's lucky for the teku, I guess, yeah. Okay.
Okay.